Romans chapter 12, we will take our reading in verse 1 and verse 2. Listen to this. This is God's very word to you. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you that in your word you show us the grounds of our life in Christ, and that is your rich mercy. We pray now in light of that mercy that you will cause us to no longer be conformed to this world, but to present ourselves before you, that we might be living sacrifices. And that you will cause us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, our wonderful Savior. Amen. Over the past few weeks, we have been focused in on Romans chapter 12. This was supposed to be one sermon, but it's turned into three. And so we are now finally at the third point of this sermon. But what is the first two points? What have we been driving at? Because if you remember, we have been taking a glimpse at worldliness and what it means to be conformed to this world. And we have said about worldliness that it is the unquestioned acceptance. The unquestioned acceptance of this world's values and patterns. And we've said that our Lord has commanded of us to not be conformed to this world. And what that requires then is for us to be a thinking people. We are to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, because the only way that we can know that we are not being conformed to this world is to understand who God is and what He says to us and requires of us from His Word. And so, over the past couple of weeks, we have seen firstly the grounds for not conforming to this world. And here are the grounds. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. Why is it that we should not conform to this world? How is it that we live this life? How is it that we can name the name of Christ? And that's by the mercies of God. Paul has laid out what it means to be a Christian in Romans, from Romans 1 all the way up into this point. And he has set before us the mercies of God in saving sinners. And then we saw last week the command to not be conformed to this world. It's simply stated, do not be conformed to this world. You see, a Christian is one who does not live for this world, but as we read in our New Testament reading, is the one who lives for that world to come. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. And so that's the command. And when we see these things, we hear them, we say, yes, I agree with that. And here's the how. How is it that we are not to be conformed to this world? How is it that we live so that our lives are not reflecting an unthinking acceptance of the patterns of this world? Well, it's right here. And today we're going to consider the means of not conforming to this world. So what are the means? How is it then that we are to live in such a way that we are not conformed to this world? Well, here they are. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And now in verse 2. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That's it. That's the way that we live so that we are not conformed to this world. Present yourself to God, a living sacrifice. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. You see, when we consider this topic, when we consider worldliness, we must always have before us this thought that the world's smiles are more dangerous than their frowns. The world's smiles are always more dangerous than its frowns. Worldliness is what any particular culture does to make sin look normal and righteousness look strange. And when we begin to present ourselves to God, and when we begin to be transformed by the renewal of our minds, we're going to earn some frowns. And we are going to look strange to this world. And so then, as we look at the means of not conforming to this world, we must first consider how the world thinks not being conformed to the world looks. You see, there are dangers even for those who name Christ. When we try to appear that we are not worldly, we can actually do worldly things. What do I mean? Well, there are three dangers. First, you must avoid moralism. Doing good things so that others will see you, that you might think that you're righteous by what you do. That's a danger. Not being conformed to this world, some people can become proud in the way that they are different. And so they think that what makes them different is what saves them. They do good things and good deeds and seek justice. And to seek justice for the fatherless and to stamp out oppression and all of those things they think is what makes them righteous. And that's a danger for those who come to church. That you're resting in what you do instead of Christ alone. And out of that moralism flows legalism. That's another danger, that you might be resting in what you're doing, not as in view of comparison yourself with Scripture, but as you compare yourself to other people. Well, I don't do this. I don't drink or smoke or go to movies. And so I am righteous. And you know what? If you do those things, you're not righteous. You see, that's an unquestioned acceptance of, well, what the world thinks is okay. What does Scripture say? That's always to be your question. What does the Scripture teach? And so there's a danger of moralism and of legalism and of just plain old civility, being nice. Just because a person is nice does not mean that they are not conformed to this world. And it does not mean that they are resting in Christ alone. And so those are the dangers. So how then? How are we to be those who present ourselves to God and are transformed by the renewing of our minds? Well, let's look at this text. Here are the means of not conforming to this world. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, in which is your spiritual or reasonable worship. The language here, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, is the language of worship. They would have been familiar, those to whom Paul is writing, would have been familiar with the Old Testament sacrifices. And in Old Testament theology, sacrifices were an act of worship. Sacrifices were usually, when we see the term sacrifice, was usually used of the peace offering. Now, this is important, because sometimes it's used as a blanket term for other offerings. But most often, it's a synonym for the peace offering. Now, this is important, because as we read in our Old Testament passage in Isaiah 1, the people were bringing offering upon offering upon offering. They were bringing their offerings, their sin offerings. And yet they did not have faith in God, and they lived in such a way that it was contradictory and contrary to it, to their faith or their professed faith, so that God would say, bring me no more offerings. You see, the worldly Christian then is the one who comes over and over and over, and they know their sin and they will not repent of it. And yet they come to church because that's what they think that God expects, and that will surely make me right. And they go back to their sin, and they return not just to church, but they're here every time the doors are opened, and that must make me right. And they are acting just like Israel. Perhaps that's you. Perhaps you know your heart, you know your sin, you own your sin, and you're not willing to depart with it. Be careful. Be careful, because you are walking as someone of the world, not as someone under grace. And so we have this language of sacrifice, this language of worship. You see, the burn offering and the sin offering were substitutionary in nature. The lamb was put on the altar in the place of the sinner. But the offering that's being called for here, this offering, is the peace offering. You see, those other offerings were offered so that they would picture God's satisfaction with a sinner. You see, in Romans chapter 3, we are told that Jesus is the atoning sacrifice. We're told in chapter 3 that He is the propitiation for our sins. And then in chapter 8, we're told that He is our sin offering. But here, the picture is of a peace offering, that after God has been favorably disposed toward me because of the work of Christ, I offer a peace offering, a thanksgiving offering, if you will. And that's what Old Testament Israel did when they had offered the sin offering. When that offering was burnt up, they said, that one, and they were pointing to Christ, died in my stead, and now God is pleased, and out of gratitude, I will offer myself. What does this mean then for us? First, it means that God is already satisfied. This living unto God, this being a living sacrifice, then, is not a satisfactory living. It's not a substitutionary. It's not something that we do unto salvation. No, God has already been satisfied by the offering of Christ. Our presenting our bodies as living sacrifices has no atoning significance. We cannot add to what Jesus has done. We cannot rest in what we do. We rest in what Christ has done, and that alone saves us. No, when we present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, it means that because God is satisfied by the offering of Christ, therefore I can offer myself before Him as a living sacrifice. There's already been one who has died for me. I am to now live unto God. You see, normally a sacrifice dies. And certainly if we offer ourselves to God as living sacrifices, we are sacrificing our old way of life. We are dying to self. We are putting to death the deeds of the flesh. But we are called to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. This has to do with more than our behavior. It has to do with our whole way of life, including both what we do and what we say and how we think. And that's why he gives these adjectives. Our sacrifice is to be living, it's to be holy, and it's to be well-pleasing to God. So what's he calling for? How is it that we escape worldliness in presenting ourselves to God? Well, we are a living sacrifice. We are coming continually before and to God and presenting ourselves unto Him. This life is not our life. This life is not about us. We come to Him because it is His life. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. A living sacrifice. You see, a dead sacrifice is useful momentarily. It accomplishes its purpose in expressing our peace with God, and then it would have been eaten. But a living sacrifice has an ongoing significance. It's an ongoing expression of God's peace with us in the way that we live, in the way that we conduct ourselves in our homes and in our community and in our work. Are you a living sacrifice? Are you presenting yourself to Christ? Are you presenting yourself to God? You see, that's the question. The question is not, do I look good to my neighbor or do I look good to my other Christian friends? It's, am I looking right before God because of the work of Christ? And am I living in light of that? The question is not, what do others think? It's, what does God think? You must present yourself to Him as a living sacrifice. It's not what the people at work think of you. It's what God thinks of you and your actions. And so at work, if you're presenting yourself before God, so in your meetings with friends, in the times that you have with family, if you're presenting yourself a living sacrifice, if you're being transformed by the renewing of your mind, the question is not, do I fit in, but do I please God? Do I represent that beauty, that glory, that significance of the sacrifice of Christ on my behalf? He goes on to say it's a holy sacrifice. This holy sacrifice is something meaning that we have been set apart. You see, sometimes Israel would get too focused on their outward purity. But as we read in Isaiah, that's not the purity which God is desiring. As we read last week in Psalm 50, it is that purity of heart, that dedication to Him, that desire to know Him. To be a holy sacrifice means that you are set apart for God alone. You're not double-minded, serving both God and yourself, or God in this culture. No, you serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, well-pleasing to God. You see, without holiness, no sacrifice will be pleasing to God. Without holiness, no sacrifice will be set apart to Him. But a living sacrifice of thanksgiving is offered as a part of as a holy life is pleasing to God. I've used this illustration before. You're going to stumble. You're going to sin. But God is your Father if you have faith in Christ. And as your Father, He is pleased with your attempts in Jesus Christ. So that, and here's the illustration, if you as a parent, if you have a small child who loves you and wants to do something for you, they want to wash the car, and you say, "Okay, son." And you let them out there with a hose, and instead of using the car wash stuff, they take out Dawn dish detergent, which you know is going to kill the clear coat. And they leave the windows cracked, and they leave dirt, and there are spots. But they've tried their best, and they've done it because they love you. And they've done it because they really want to please you. You look at them and you say, "Good job. Thank you for doing this. Thank you. Thank you for wanting to love me and to do this for me." And though you don't tell them, you drive it through the car wash later, you tell them you love them and you're thankful for what they've done. In Jesus Christ, your faulty job, your halting job, that dust that remains, those wheels that are untouched, well, they're covered over like that car wash covers over your child's effort. That's an acceptable sacrifice. It's a sacrifice that looks to God because it loves Him, because of the mercy poured out upon us in Jesus Christ. Is this how you live before God? Do you live, as they say, as the Reformers would say in the Latin phrase, coram Deo, before the face of God? You see, that's the remedy to worldliness. The remedy to worldliness is not living looking at the world around you, but it's fixing your eyes on Christ and looking to Him and loving Him for what He has done. And out of a desire to serve Him, you live. This is your reasonable service. And so that is one way in which we're no longer conformed to the world. We are beginning to be transformed by the work of Christ. It's by presenting ourselves to God. But it's also by being transformed by the renewal of your mind, the renewing of your mind. Paul has said, "Do not be conformed to this world. Do not let this world make you into its image, into its likeness, into its thoughts of what people are supposed to be and supposed to do and supposed to look like. Rather, you come to your Creator and your Redeemer, and you let Him transform you, and you let Him mold you into His image, into His likeness, so that His thoughts are your thoughts. And you're thinking His thoughts after Him." How, though? How does this renewal of mind take place? For too long we've been steeped in the thoughts and the ideas and the desires of the world. And they infiltrate and they push in and they assault us all day, every day. You say, "When? When does this happen?" Well, it happens every time you turn on the radio. Every time you turn on the television, every time you read a magazine, every time you go into public. So how? How do we combat this? It's not in some mystical withdrawing. We don't do like the monks. We don't do like the Amish and pull away and say that the only way to be renewed is to separate ourselves. No, there's a very ordinary way in which our minds are transformed, in which we are renewed. It's through the very ordinary means of grace and honoring the Lord's Day. That's right. If you don't want to be conformed to this world, it's by the transforming of your mind. We are to be transformed by the Word. Are you? Very frankly, are you? Are you being transformed? Do you read the Word? Do you meditate on the Word that has been preached to you? Do you meditate on the Word that is read? Are you being transformed? Are you daily wanting to dive into and find the mind of God in His Word? Because He's not going to come to you in some mystical whisper. He's not going to come up to you and in your ear whisper sweet nothings. If that happens to you, let me tell you very carefully what you need to do. You need to run or seek help. Because any sort of whispering of that sort is not from God. Do you know where God speaks? This is where God speaks. He speaks to you clearly in His Word. And if you want your mind to be conformed to His way of thinking, if you want to know what He thinks, it's in His Word. It's not in some mystical revelation. It's in this completed revelation. You say, but I don't like that. That's not really what I had in mind at all. I didn't want to have to sit down and read the Word. I didn't want to have to mine through that. I didn't want to have to work for this. Then you have been conformed to this world. And just like those captives in Stockholm, Sweden, you have begun to side with your captor. Not with those who come to rescue you. And so you're transformed through the Word, and you're transformed by the sacraments. As you partake in the means of grace, you see the promises of God in the baptism, in the table. And you meditate. What do these mean? And you begin to take your eyes and mind off the world, and you start setting them where they belong. And in prayer. Very ordinary. Nothing extraordinary. Nothing strange in this. This is how you will no longer be worldly, but be conformed and be transformed. It's in these things. And also in honoring the Lord's Day. It's not a day of drudgery, but a day to remember, to celebrate, and to recall all that the Lord has done. That's what the Apostle Paul says when he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. What better day to remember the mercies of God than the very day that your Savior rose from the tomb that you might be justified? The Lord's Day. Today is the day that He has set aside that you can draw near to Him. Every other day, we often say, I'm too busy. And we don't even get to our Bibles and we don't even get to our closets to pray. But this day, you have the whole day given to you that you might rest, that you might reflect upon the mercies of God. To study His Word, to worship Him. And so instead of making it a day just like any other day, use it for what it's intended. Instead of filling it with sporting events or television, why not make it a day to reflect on His great mercy and His goodness? After all, that is the grounds for your nonconformity to this world. Today, instead of making this day about yourself and your worldly pursuits, sit down, read Psalm 119 in its entirety, and see how you might be transformed by the Word. See what sort of transformation will be made in you if you love the Word as that psalmist loves the Word. And so the apostle says to us, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Are you tired of siding with your captors? Are you tired of living in Stockholm Syndrome? Consider the mercies of Christ and live in light of them.